panel of two. Look, if one of us is epic, it's still a power panel. So Michael Schur joins us on a fun Friday power panel. And I say fun. Look, it's been a dark week. It's been a dark long time, certainly this year. But I'm in a better mood today, and I think we do have some fun stories along with the disastrous ones. There's some plenty of good news, Michael, today, including personal front. So for those of you asking, you're wonderful to ask. Anna's doing much better. Her mom is doing much better. So that's great, great news. We feel terrific about that. And then just a shout out today to someone you guys hear from time to time. Old friend Bart Kyle. Bart's our audio man. You guys hear him, hear his compilations before the beginning of shows, the soundboard, all that stuff. Bart has been with the Young Turks now for 13 years. How you like them apples?
Okay. That's amazing.
Bart's the one on the right, by the way. Not the other one's Kevin Smith, the director, in case you guys were getting confused.
Well, I remember Bart coming into the studio, Cenk. I mean, years and years ago. It's 13 years ago. When he would just come in, he would stop by. He would bring drinks for people. He would bring food. He would just hang out because he liked what we were doing. And so pleased that it evolved into something really great where Bart is still there. And he's a Genesis fan, so there's that.
So thank you, Bart, for 13 wonderful years. And Michael, for 18 wonderful years. So,
yeah. So I don't know what I did for those five without Bart.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. 5 years we went without Bart. All right. Let's look. We're trying to make it 19 years. And you guys are trying to help us do that. The way we're doing that is through audience fundraising in these hard times. It's usually hard times for the Young Turks anyway, but these days it's particularly hard. Trying to raise $200 per month to keep us above water, sustainable and healthy. We're calling it the Press On campaign. It's a play on words. You know Michael Schur is going to like it. Anyway, tyt.com/go is how you participate. And thank you to all the folks who have participated so far. Let's put up the thermometer. 117,529. That's wonderful. But we really got to keep it going. Can we have further fun today and get to 120,000 before the end of the show and play some fireworks? Is that possible? Let's find out if it's possible. Thank you, guys. And just shout outs for all the folks today. $3 donations, $30 donations, $15, $3. I love you guys. All right. So lots of news. Michael, take it away.
First of all, a $65 donation is $5 for every year that Bart has been with TYT. So you just go right there, 65, boom, you're covering Bart.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, Michael's not saying anything. He's just saying. Okay.
I'm just saying. All right, let's talk about what's happening out there. What happened yesterday to Kevin Vesey? Kevin is a reporter for a local news station in Long Island, New York, called News 12. He was in Commack, Long Island, which is in Suffolk County, a little farther out from New York City than Nassau County. And he was just doing his job. Actually, he was going to tell the stories of those who are out there protesting the fact that Governor Cuomo is keeping the state of New York on safe at home notice. But even though he was there to tell their story, as we'll see right now, the people that were gathered there to see Kevin's reporting were not happy to see him there telling their story. Here's a group of people welcoming Kevin Vesey to the protest line.
I'm just trying to get by on the sidewalk, that's all.
Well, you shouldn't be here. You're fake news. You stopped airing the Trump briefings, and you keep airing Cuomo briefings. Go home,
traitor.
You fake news. Go home.
You're destroying Suffolk in Long Island.
You are the enemy of the people.
You are fake news. We know about your liberal agenda. We know you want to keep your job. We get it. You're not getting advertiser dollars in right now.
You used to be a good channel at one time.
You allow people.
I don't know what happened to you.
Stop.
There we go.
You. Wait. 6 feet.
Yeah. Put me on TV, too. My name is Rich. I love you like gold.
Kevin, tell the truth, Kevin. Come on.
What's amazing to me, Cenk, is how many people knew him there, right? Who, because News 12 is hyper-local, right? They would be the ones that would show the Cuomo because it's New York and not the Trump because it's national. That's just in the DNA of that network. But everybody there seemed to know him and think that he had some kind of an agenda.
Yeah, I was amazed by that, that they thought, like, well, we found him. News 12, obviously, the news organization driving the biased agenda and the purveyors of fake news. And what I take away from that is, yes, some of them, yes, I'm sure know News 12, that's a local station, but they're not an affiliate of anyone else, ABC, CBS, NBC, anything like that. And so my guess is that a huge chunk of them also did not know News 12 and thought, it doesn't matter, there's a camera here, and I've been programmed to hate all of media, unless it says Fox News on it. So, and I want to talk more about that in a second after we show you the second video, because I think this is a cultural phenomenon and so important. It's more important than you might think just watching these videos, which in a sense are fun because, like, that's hilarious. Why are they, I mean, all going nuts over this poor reporter who doesn't have any agenda or bias as far as we know.
His agenda is to tell their story. I mean, he's there. You would think if they're protesting, they'd want people on Long Island to hear those protests. A News 12 is carried on Optimum Cable. It is the default channel when you turn on your cable box. If you have a cable box in Suffolk County, it goes to News 12. There's no better megaphone for what these people are doing than to have Kevin Vesey there telling their story. But here's some more that next part of the video.
You can see there's clearly a lot of anger here today. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm backing up because you're getting closer to me.
You paint us as if we're a danger outside.
We are not. You got people calling us murderers because of you. 2 weeks ago, none of us were sick.
You don't have that.
Nobody ever said that. Nobody ever painted you as murderers.
To paint a narrative you wanted to paint. You did that.
You know, a lot of people are, and maybe you should start thinking about that.
Right.
You know what?
So are you out of work right now, sir?
What's that?
Are you out of work?
That's not relevant.
You're not. Why are you essential?
Can you please stay away from me, sir? You're not 6 feet away. You are not 6 feet away. Stay right there, sir. Stay right there.
All right, a lot to comment on there. First of all, in the earlier video, if you haven't seen the Young Turks before, you're wondering why did that random dude show up in place of the middle finger? That's our senior editor, J.R. Jackson. And so I should say senior producer. And he edits our videos. So whenever anybody curses or puts up a middle finger, he puts up his face instead. So that's the fun thing that we do. All right. Now, for everyone, as you see this, in some ways, it feels like the beginning of some sort of apocalyptic movie. As people are closing in on a reporter full of rage, there's all reason and rationale is gone by the wayside. I actually think there are some significant and real issues to talk about here in terms of the shutdown, and there's a way to do that. But I thought the most emblematic part of all those videos was when the two women were both talking / using a megaphone at the same exact time, and they're closing in on the guy, but they're yelling at him so much you can't tell what they're saying. It just feels like this angry cacophony, like, right? Like, okay, like, if you got a real problem, News 12 or any other media, just calmly explain why. He's there to tape it. He might just air it.
He's telling your story, and it becomes, like you said, a cacophony, but it just becomes a blur of noise, and it isn't, you're not hearing what their message is. And like you said, Cenk, they have some points. I mean, you know, these are people that are out of work. These are people whose small businesses have had to close, people who have not been affected by the virus and are saying, well, now it's time, and are upset that Cuomo's extending it. But this is not the way to get what they're saying heard. It went on a little more, and here's more of Kevin Vesey in Comac, Long Island.
Rally really got started. Some of the rules went out the window. Many protesters directing their anger right at the news media. some of them trying to prevent me from filing this report on Facebook Live and repeatedly invading my personal space.
I think you need to back away from
me.
No,
I got hydroxychloroquine. I'm fine.
I'm just standing here. This guy will not get away from me.
Yeah.
Can you back away?
No.
Yeah, so first of all, man, that was another thing that was really emblematic. It's okay, I'll be fine. I have hydroxychloroquine. A couple of studies out recently saying not only does it not work, it is counterproductive, and when used, it has led to more deaths rather than less deaths. So if you're still thinking that that's going to help you, do not take it. Make sure you consult a doctor. And so, you know, I hope he was kidding, but it didn't look like he was kidding when he said, I'll be fine because I'm taking it. It might actually cause you to have a problem in the first place. So I would ask people to read their studies, but it's with that crowd, it seems impossible to think that they would read a study, at least for the folks who are on camera and yelling at the reporter, which then leads to the most important point. Look, I think a combination of Fox News and Donald Trump has created this subculture. And I call it a subculture, but it's really 25 to 40% of this country. It's a gigantic chunk of this country that just thinks, look, if professors or scientists or media is telling me something, I automatically don't believe it. Well, okay, there are reasons to be skeptical of the mainstream media, and I want to get into that in a second. But if you are outright rejecting anything a professor, scientist, or journalist tells you, that means you just jettison 90% of facts in the world. So then how do we have a conversation when we can't even agree that 2 + 2 = 4? We live in two different planets where we live relatively in a reality-based world, and at least 25% of the country lives in a world where they don't give a damn about whether a medicine works or doesn't work, whether a virus is real or not real, and they're completely detached from reality. And so I don't know how we're ever going to come back together, because Fox News is never, ever going to stop. And they do have freedom of speech. They are allowed to say those things. So they will say those things till the end of time. And a giant chunk of this country will be honestly brainwashed by them and believe things that aren't remotely true and refuse to listen to anyone who actually brings the other side.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump has become, through happenstance, the leader of the biggest cult in the history of America. And I don't think that there's, you know, that's not hyperbolic. I mean, that's true. You look at these people who, as you said, Cenk, are ignoring the science, who are out there going after the news media because their leader tells them to go after the news media. I've been in those pits in the middle of Donald Trump rallies where he points at us and everybody then gives us the finger and starts screaming at us. It's real. It happens. And it never happened before this guy came on the scene. Were there problems with the press? Did every president who stood before them criticize them? Absolutely. Never before have they been vilified like this or targeted like this. Kevin Vesey was able to get in his car and go home. He filed his story. But that's not going to be the case forever. And it's very dangerous what's coming out of the mouths of these people because of what's coming out of the mouths of the president. And it could lead to something.
And look, guys, for those of you who still have an open mind, and if you watch the Young Turks at all, you'll know we actually criticize the press certainly more than anyone else in the press, right? But about as much as anyone in the country does. But we try to do it in a way that's constructive and say, look, here's the problem. Here's where we think the solution is. And here's how we can get there. As opposed to, okay, right? And so if you said to us, hey, listen, we think the press comes from a mainstream media perspective, we'd say we agree. If you said, hey, you know, they're two so-called centrists, which we don't really think is the center, we probably largely agree. They protect the status quo too much. I would agree, right? And hence, here's how they discriminate against the right wing or how they frame an issue in a way that can you not see how it's biased? I would be so open to that conversation. I know that that happens sometimes to the right wing. In fact, we've talked about it recently on the show. And it certainly happens to the left wing, to progressives. And the media does not help by not acknowledging the obvious, overwhelming centrist bias they have. I obviously don't think it's actually centrist. That's why I put it in quotes when I talk about it. But And now finally, Politico's founding editor wrote a piece saying, yeah, you know, it turns out we might have centrist bias. New York Times ran a column saying, yeah, it turns out we might have centrist bias. So these are legitimate issues if you talk about it in a way that isn't just random noise generator. And you don't do your side any justice when all you're doing is screaming in ways that are incoherent. And in terms of the lockdown, last thing on that is, guys, it's definitely hurting small businesses. So many people are, 36 million people are out of a job. We want them to get back to work. The left wants them to get back to work more than anybody does. And we could probably find common ground on it. But the way to find common ground isn't, oh, yeah, I'm going to take my mask off. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get closer than 6 feet. Oh, yeah, I'm going to endanger your health. No, let's find a way to have a forum where we can discuss it without yelling at each other and endangering each other. And maybe, just maybe, if we did that, we might be able to find a way to rationally reopen the country without putting more lives in danger.
Yeah, it would be nice to see that. I don't know that that forum is nigh, but it would be nice to have that kind of a conversation. It just doesn't seem to be anything we're looking at. And we can stay, though, Cenk, with the president of the United States, because he is the person from whom all of this skepticism about science, that's where it emanated. And yesterday, President Trump was in Allentown, Pennsylvania. He was visiting a place that makes medical equipment in Allentown. And he didn't wear a mask. He decided that wasn't a good idea, nor did Mark Meadows. But everybody else there did wear a mask. Mark Meadows is now his chief of staff, the former congressman from North Carolina. And the president didn't wear a mask, but he was able, by not wearing a mask, to say something foolish, it seemed. But let's let the president speak for himself, because he was talking about healthcare workers. He was talking about what they're up against. Here's President Trump.
Healthcare warriors, and they are warriors, aren't they? When you see them going into those hospitals and they're putting the stuff that you deliver, but they're wrapping themselves and the doors are opening and they're going through the doors and they're not even ready to go through those doors. They probably shouldn't, but they can't get there fast enough. And they're running into death just like soldiers run into bullets in a true sense. I see that with the doctors and the nurses and so many of the people that go into those hospitals. It's incredible to see. It's a beautiful thing to see.
Can you imagine, Cenk, if he was sending his soldiers into war without the proper equipment that they require for war, when you think about what these warriors are doing?
Yeah, I can't imagine it, because the Bush administration already did it. And then Rumsfeld had that infamous line where he said, you go to the war with the army you have, not the one you wish you had. Because their Humvees were not properly prepared and the IEDs were blowing up soldiers left and right. And Rumsfeld basically said, deal with it. And this is the equivalent of that, which is, in this case, instead of bullets, you have the virus and they don't have masks. And the minute it hits your face, it's over. You got it and then your life is in danger. So it's not a thing you should be celebrating. It's a thing that you should be saying, like, oh, my God, they're so brave. And but we wish they didn't have to go through that. My God, we are working day and night to get them more masks. We're going to get billions of masks, but it's not enough. I'm going to get more. And if we have oversupply of masks, terrific. But under no circumstances am I going to have them go into a situation where they feel like they're dodging bullets, instead of going, yeah, they're dodging bullets. It's fantastic, isn't it? And of course, by the way, the nurses union put out a statement saying, no, it's not at all fantastic. In fact, let me read it to you. Bonnie Castillo, who's their executive director at National Nurses United, said, nurses signed up to care for their patients. They did not sign up to sacrifice their lives on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic. And she's absolutely right. There's no reason why doctors and nurses should have to be in a situation where they might be potentially sacrificing their lives. And by the way, already 9,000 healthcare workers have contracted coronavirus. And a lot of that is because they did not have protective equipment.
Yeah, hundreds of health workers have died from COVID. There was a throwaway line in there that I don't know if you caught, Cenk. He was talking. He said, they go in there, they do their job. They probably shouldn't, right? The president is saying they probably shouldn't go to work because he knows how bad it is. He knows what they are facing when they go in there. And yet, this administration and the preparedness of this administration. It's not saying that they have wrought this intentionally, but at this point, it seems like there's certainly been enough willful ignorance that they have not prepared for this kind of a pandemic. And we'll get to that a little bit later as well. But he's sending them in there, and he's even saying they probably shouldn't go in there.
Yeah, well, that's why 2 weeks ago there were nurse protests at 139 hospitals across the country because they're saying, how many times can you ask us to risk our lives? Just get masks. It's not that complicated. And just yesterday, Dr. Bright testified that months ago, he said, look, it's not me, and it's not even Obama, so don't worry. It's a Bush administration report that said we need, in a situation like this, exactly a situation like this, 3.5 billion masks. We only have 300 million in our reserves, so we need to order the masks right away because they're going to take time to make, to distribute, to bring here, etc. So please order the masks. And they would not do it. And it turns out one of the reasons they didn't do it is they said, well, Kushner apparently pushed this line, saying if you order a lot of medical equipment, it'll spook the markets and the stock market will go down. Well, as it turned out, the stock market went down anyway because you idiots were unprepared and you risked people's lives. And last thing about that, Michael, is this guy is going around bragging about how he's risking the lives of doctors and nurses. And every time he talks like a hero, it drives me nuts because, of course, he's Commander Bone Spurs. And he got 5 deferments from Vietnam, the last one for bone spurs. My favorite thing is reporter asks him, which foot was it? He's like, maybe both. I don't know. Okay, so it was obviously made up. And he ran for Vietnam. When asked about it on the Howard Stern show, he said, no, so my avoiding sexually transmitted diseases was my personal Vietnam. And I was a good and brave soldier. So he said that on a number of occasions. And so for him to be talking about soldiers and risking people's lives, especially given that context, is particularly galling.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, we made fun of George Bush. At least he went into the Alabama National Guard, right? This guy can't even remember where the bone spurs were. It's a remarkable thing. We will be back with more from Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Donald Trump talking about healthcare workers, talking about the pandemic.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today, and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Michael with you guys. I want to thank one of our sponsors, NordVPN. So they, along with you guys, are helping us stay in business here, but they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're a good company that's giving you a product that you really need, especially in these times. So they're selling things that protect your privacy online. As I've been telling you guys all week, Mitch McConnell's proposed a bill that would allow the FBI to look at everyone's web browsing history without any protection, no warrant. needed. Okay, so these VPNs protect your computers. I have NordVPN. So if you sign up through our code TYT, you actually get 70% off a 3-year deal, and you get an extra month off too. NordVPN.com/TYT. That's the way to do it, /TYT. Okay. But you guys are doing it out of the goodness of your heart, and it is absolutely essential. Today we're trying to get to 120,000 through TYT.com/go, and I wanted to see where we are with that. Real quick, look at the thermometer. 118,319. I really think we can make it. Let's see if we can do it. TYT.com/go. We appreciate every dollar. All right. And every member. So let me go to those members. Kitten Activist writes in, happy Bart TYT mitzvah. So it's a kind of a Bart mitzvah.
It is a Bart mitzvah.
Yeah. Blue Lizard Gut says, you guys match. Super cute. Yeah, we did not coordinate that. We're not allowed to see each other other than through Skype. And then Gabby Marita says, of course, never tread on me. Crowd are always the first to insist that they have the right to tread on others. In this case, a reporter. That is incredibly true. Brent Acorn with a sad story. Trump's vilification of the media destroyed my ability to have any kind of rational conversation with my father. We don't speak anymore. I will never forgive Republicans and the establishment Democrats for destroying my family. And it's cultural. It really has become something that splits us apart, even at the family level. And then lastly, the infamous Mr. Joy Boy writes in, the corporate pravdas have so bankrupted their own standing with the public by supporting all the establishment wars for years. Nobody trusts the media, and they are angry with every reporter now. So, as I said, I think the media has brought some of this upon itself, but not to the degree that it is happening now. Not the rage, not the irrational attacks. Let's be constructive so we can fix things. Okay. Having said that, let's keep going. Michael, what's next?
Yeah, we'll leave that divisiveness, and we will stick with this. Donald Trump in Allentown, Pennsylvania, visiting a medical equipment factory there. Again, the only person not wearing a mask, actually two people, Donald Trump and his chief of staff, Mark Meadows, didn't wear a mask on this visit. But Trump went on to say some pretty incredible things about how the country is dealing with testing, and a little bit contradictory, but also always, as promised, shocking. Here's Donald Trump talking about testing.
We have more cases than anybody in the world. But why? Because we do more testing. When you test, you have a case. When you test, you find something is wrong with people. If we didn't do any testing, we would have very few cases. They don't want to write that. It's common sense. So we test much more, many, many times. South Korea, you hear about.
So he's saying that if we didn't test, we wouldn't have as many cases. Well, the cases would still be there. It's just that testing, now you know about it, now that you can treat those cases and keep people away, and you can put attention on those areas that are clusters of those positive tests. It's the most amazing thing to hear. Nothing amazes anymore, but when you think about the death, that we're well over 80,000 deaths in this country, over 300,000 in the world, and he's just saying, if you test, there's too many. We're testing so many people. We're finding these cases, and it's just remarkable.
So, in this context, to be fair to Trump, he is saying, "Hey, we have a lot of cases because we're testing a lot of people," as opposed to what he apparently has said in the past, which is, "Let's not test people because then people will find out how many cases we have." If in this context, the way that he said it there, if he said, hey, look, I'm proud of how many tests we're doing because that'll give us a better assessment of the situation and help us fix it. Now, of course, he's not sophisticated enough to finish that thought, but to start
that thought, because that's not what he said. He didn't say it in that context to me. I didn't hear it that way. I mean, there's a dubiousness about testing that is coming from this White House and this president. We'll hear a little bit more from the president on that. But I don't know that I'm going to be as fair to the president as you are there. Because, yes, I know that he's made that conclusion, but he's still saying that maybe it's not a good idea.
Yeah, but we do know that that he actively did not want to test people or get more tests, and he turned down tests from the World Health Organization months ago.
Right.
And so he was told we need these tests to accurately assess. He said no, and part of the reasoning for that was because, again, they did not want to scare the stock market. So that's a well-known fact. Within that context, the quote you just heard sounds worse.
No question. And the quote you're about to hear supports that, because this is the president in Allentown, Pennsylvania, with his take on tests themselves. Here he is.
The best testing in the world. It could be the testing's, frankly, overrated. Maybe it is overrated. But whatever they start yelling, we want more, we want more. You know, they always say, we want more, because they don't want to give you credit. Then we do more, and they say, we want more.
I mean, so the test being overrated is, you know, come on. It's astonishing, right? I mean, the testing is what is helping to save lives and helping us as a society to react to what has happened. It worked in Italy. It's worked in South Korea, in Singapore. Testing is what drives this.
Yeah, so believe it or not, I try to give Trump the best reading of any particular quote, but he always ruins it. He can't help himself. So he comes in and he goes, actually, I don't know, maybe it's overrated. It's clearly not overrated. And listen to what he's saying. He's saying, like, it's all centered around, are they giving me enough credit or are they not giving me enough credit? So, you know, hey, we've done the most testing, but they won't give me enough credit. Well, I don't want to do more testing because then they take away credit from me. God damn it, it's not about you. 88,000 dead already. You should be super focused on, I want to make sure it's not 89,000. But he just doesn't care. It's super obvious to anyone who isn't already biased. All he cares about is himself. And to Michael's point, the two best examples are probably South Korea and Germany. The Germans do an amazing job of testing, tracing, quarantining people who have it right away so they don't interact with other people. And what has been the result of that? The result has been what right-wingers in this country want, which is reopening. Germany was able to reopen quicker because of testing. A lot less people died, a much healthier country, and more open for business. But that requires a leader with any degree of intelligence, and that's not who we have.
No, yeah, I mean, it isn't who we have, and we have, you know, this ego in the White House right now that's not going to let it be about anything else but himself, and that has trickled down to the people that want it to be about themselves, but not the society. You look at even Mexico, a country that doesn't have the resources in smaller parts of that country to deal with this, but societally, they're working for it. They're not being selfish about it. Villages are closing down. People are becoming decimated there by the lack of economic progress. Yet they realize that you have to be sacrificial. And that's not something that this president or the people that are getting their information to the White House, for the most part, are being. And it's not helping things. We've spent, Cenk, I think, too much time talking about COVID. I think we should be responsible and talk about Obamagate. What do you think?
Finally. Good. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell it is. So let's see what we can figure out today.
So is everyone, except Fox News, apparently, because when you look at Fox and Friends, they are now, according to a Media Matters study, spending more time talking about Obamagate, something that the president came up with that even he cannot describe, than they are talking about COVID. And it really just, you know, furthers the narrative that Fox and Friends is the mouthpiece of the White House. But they've slowed their COVID coverage, and they've put in more Obamagate, and we can see the numbers there. I can't see it, unfortunately. Maybe, Cenk, you could help me with those numbers a little bit.
Yeah. So they spent 35 minutes talking about coronavirus that's killed 88,000 people in America already. But they spent an hour and 9 minutes talking about Michael Flynn and Obamagate. Twice as much time talking about a thing that does not exist as opposed to the thing that is the most amazing and awful pandemic of our lifetimes.
Yeah, you don't need to know much more than that to know that Fox and Fox and Friends, but Fox News in a bigger picture, is just a part of the campaign wing of Trump-Pence 2020, and that's how they are going to be doing things. So this is about gathering the base, and the base watches Fox, and the base doesn't want to hear about COVID and ineffectiveness and the, you know, the fact that there's no efficacy to testing. They want to hear about Michael Flynn, who was exonerated, but then now they're going to sue the Justice Department, and they want to hear about the fact that Obamagate existed, and Barack Obama and Joe Biden were part of that, started it, and that's why we shouldn't elect Joe Biden. It's just going to go on like that. So it's such an important thing that they have, such an advantage they have to have that on the air every day.
But Michael, President Trump, I mean, if he was asked what Obamagate is, I mean, it's the crime of the century. He would obviously know it, right?
Well, of course he would. He'd be able to say it. I mean, like, you know, let's say a reporter came out and asked him about it. Someone like, oh, I don't know, Phil Rucker from The Washington Post. I wonder what that would sound like.
President, in one of your Mother's Day tweets, you appear to accuse President Obama of the biggest political crime in American history by far. Those were your words. What crime exactly are you accusing President Obama of committing? And do you believe the Justice Department should prosecute him?
Obamagate. It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on from before I even got elected. And it's a disgrace that it happened. And if you look at what's gone on, and if you look at now all of this information that's being released, and from what I understand, that's only the beginning. Some terrible things happened, and it should never be allowed to happen in our country again. And you'll be seeing what's going on over the coming weeks. But I wish you'd write honestly about it. But unfortunately, you choose not to do so. Yeah, John, please.
What is the crime exactly that you're accusing him of?
You know what the crime is. The crime is very obvious to everybody. All you have to do is read the newspapers, except yours.
Ah, yes. Beautiful. And he articulated up Obamagate so well that you understand why Fox and Friends would say, well, we have to cover this. Here are our friends at Fox and Friends.
Do interviews with mainstream media outlets over the next week or two. How many people actually ask him questions? Because when you look at the nightly news last night, Ainsley and Brian, not many. Actually, I think only CBS, where Catherine Herridge now works.
That's right.
Devoted any attention to this story about the unmasking.
Yep, 50 seconds. NBC didn't cover it. ABC didn't cover it. And Biden's team released a statement. They were saying that President Trump is just trying to distract from his corona response, which they're not happy with. And here you have the former administration putting a target on the incoming administration. That is incredible, and every network should be covering this, but right now it's getting scant coverage.
Yeah, Kaylee, on that point, a lot of networks are not covering it.
Right, and not only did CBS cover it, the only reason they did is because Catherine Herridge, who used to work here, is working over there and covered it. They're not covering it, guys, because there's nothing to cover. Even the person who brought it up can't tell you what it is.
But, Michael, I figured out why they spend an hour and 9 minutes on it. It's probably how long it took to try to guess at what the hell it is. Brian, what do you think Obamagate is? War tan suit? No! It's got to be that he put mustard on his burger. It's got, and then Ainsley comes in. No way, guys! Remember when he saluted, but he had the coffee cup in his hands? It's been going on a long time. It's been going on a long time.
What about that time he was presidenting while black?
Or just like being black before being president. It's been going on a long time.
Long time. You're going to hear more about it, too. You're going to hear plenty more about it. And Joe Biden allowed all this to happen.
It's true. Joe Biden did allow Barack Obama to be black while president.
Yeah. Amazing. But so far, it is the emperor's new clothes. So far, it is something that nobody can actually pin any kind of knowledge on. I watched Tim Miller last night, who used to work for Jeb Bush, talking about it on Brian Williams' show, The 11th Hour on MSNBC. And Tim Miller actually did a good job of trying to explain what it is, but still nobody knows because there isn't anything there. And this is something they're trying to drum up to get their rabble roused. And the experiences of watching this president when he was a candidate, it works. And that's the bad part.
Yeah, look, if you went through that crowd in Long Island that we showed you earlier today and you ask everyone there, what is the crime in Obamagate? First, ask him, were you outraged by Obamagate? 100% will be like, yes, worst crime ever. Yeah. Right. And then say, okay, worst crime, political crime ever. Can you just name it? I mean, because it's so obvious what it was. It's the worst. It's the worst ever. Can you just name it? Not one person could name it.
No.
Not one person on Fox News can name it. Trump can't name it. It's just a thing. It's a talking point. That's all it is.
What's your least favorite part about Obamagate? All of it.
Michael Flynn! Michael Flynn, what?
Right. And then there's Michael Flynn, right? I mean, that's something that you can just also go back to. At least there is something to the Michael Flynn story, right? I mean, we know what it is, right? He's a guy who pled guilty twice. The charges were dropped, even though he pled guilty to the charges that were dropped. And now, since you were part of the people that thought Michael Flynn should be free, and there's an investigation, you can be upset. You can point to what it is, as ridiculous as that sounds. But Obamagate, there's nothing there. It's totally made up.
Yeah. All right. We got to take another break. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, more madness, including the protesters in Michigan have started to attack each other. Oh, I love that story. We'll be right back.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
All right, back on the Young Turks. By the way, guys, there's a True North Marathon that's going to come out on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern on all of our basically cable outlets. That's Pluto, Roku, Zumo, Comcast, etc. Make sure you check that out. If you're a member, you could already binge watch the entire thing, and it's just fantastic. It's about climate change. John went up there, and it's great. So, yeah, tyt.com/join to become a member and watch all that. Okay, engineer writes in the member section, Trump, if you don't test, there are no cases. And if you cover your eyes, no one can see you. Chair writes, we have more cases because we don't have enough PPP. PPP does not include tests. They are merely diagnostic. Colorless green ideas sleep furiously, writes in.
Wow.
Cases refer to infections confirmed by a test. If you mean all infected people, you call it infections. See the difference between the case fatality rate and the infection fatality rate. None of what you just said would be understood by Donald Trump. And it doesn't have the word Trump in it, so he wouldn't have read it in the first place. All right. Dave Petter with an excellent point. We are not testing more than other countries. We are ranked number 38 in tests per million residents. So great point. Bart Kyle writes in, thanking you guys. He says, I want to thank all the members here. I really appreciate all of you with your shout outs and love that I feel here every day. I'm touched. Let's keep fighting the good fight with love and joy. So great to have you, Bart. And all of you on YouTube Super Chat, I read your comments. They're fantastic. I'm sorry we don't have time for them because we're about to run out. So I'm going to read one more from a Young Turks member. Again, tyt.com/join to become a member. Naughtiest Maximus writes, well, we're living here in Allentown, where we just got visited by a clown. Out in Bethlehem, they wait in line for COVID tests that they can't find.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Excellent job. Yeah. All right, Michael, last story.
And today is just a reminder, Bart Kyle's 13th. Somebody said Bart Mitzvah, 13. It's fantastic. It says Bart Mitzvah. We go now from Allentown to Michigan, where in Lansing, Michigan, the capital of Michigan, it turns out that the protests that have gone on now for several weeks have finally done something, and that is shut down the Michigan legislature. From David Welch and Bloomberg, Michigan closed down its capital in Lansing on Thursday, canceled its legislative session rather than face the possibility of an armed protest and death threats against Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. The shutdown was done with little fanfare at the end of Wednesday's state Senate session. About 4:30 p.m., lawmakers in the Republican majority chamber simply adjourned until Tuesday, rather than call the next previously scheduled meeting for Thursday morning at 10 a.m. And, the story of that sounds a lot more benign, but when you see the pictures of what actually went down in Lansing and how ugly some of the protests got, there were fears, of course, because people had brought, there's a right to carry, but brought weapons to these protests, that they were being portrayed as violent. But no, not at all. Take a look.
Are you guys like certified in your job? Did you have to go through training and stuff? Me too. Only there's a lot of people
up here. And I second that guy over here. You own a
business. These are what they're buying. Stop buying that.
Yes, that is in fact the protesters fighting each other. That was not counter-protesters. That was an internal fight. And it gets funnier. It's also, of course, frightening and absurd. And I'm going to get to the downsides in a second. But first, let's just enjoy them fighting each other and the absurdity of it. So someone had brought a Barbie doll. And if you notice, by the way, a brunette one, which is what Gretchen Whitmer is, brunette, and hung it naked there. And I like how we're blocking out the genitalia of the Barbies. Anyway, or the lack thereof. So other protesters, to give them credit, were like, hey, don't do that, right? Don't hang things. It makes the rest of us look violent. They left it there, that's great. And I would give them credit for it. But they couldn't. They said, don't do that. It makes us look violent. So if you keep doing it, I'm going to kick your ass.
Just remember, they don't want to appear violent.
So then finally they just grab it, and then the guy tries to, hold on to it, and then somebody else comes in and takes that out and gives it back to the guy, and et cetera. And it just becomes a melee over the naked hanging Barbie. Meanwhile, they assure us, don't worry, we're still doing social distancing. Social distancing. And yes, you're right. The hanging anything looks violent, and they shouldn't do that. You know what else looks violent? AR-15s. When you guys show up in military fatigues carrying significant weaponry, that also gives a little violent edge to it. By the way, that Pikachu, there's a person underneath that. That's a real weapon that he's holding. I believe it's an AR-9.
An AR-9.
Yeah, didn't see that one coming.
I didn't expect that to come. Yeah, and it's true. I mean, they are so caught up in not appearing a certain way. And who are these people, right? I mean, you want to know who these people are. Then The Guardian talked about these people. But the protest was organized in April, the protest they had, organized by the Michigan Conservative Coalition, which Michigan State Corporate Filings show has also operated under the name of, you'll not believe this, Michigan Trump Republicans. It was also heavily promoted by the Michigan Freedom Fund, a group linked to the Trump cabinet member Betsy DeVos, who is the Secretary of Education. And it turns out also that some of our favorites in the Proud Boys were there as well. Listen, I don't want to overplay this. I mean, they did have an effect. The legislature was closed, and it was certainly in response to what happened, maybe fears about what's happening. When you hang someone in effigy at any time, it is provocative and it is violent, and that's a terrible thing. But we're talking about a smattering of very far right-wing people that were out there. The pictures, though, do show some horrific things. And it shows, even in the age of COVID, these people are not distancing, even if they say they are. Look at them. They're approaching each other and fighting each other. And this is what people are up against now.
So Michael, explain who's behind the April protest. This Thursday protest, it appears Michigan United for Liberty was behind it. And I'm sure other people showed up that were not connected to that group. But they were calling it Judgment Day. So if you're not going to do anything that is violent and you bring heavy weaponry and you call it Judgment Day, and last time you went into the state house and peered over the legislators with weapons in your hands, I don't know that I would go with Judgment Day as the rallying cry. And if I was Pikachu, I don't know that I'd bring a weapon with me. If I wanted to send a friendly message. But the other thing is, guys, one, the intimidation worked. They shut down the state legislature. So that is atrocious. That's unbelievable. And they say, oh, no, the weapons are just, they have nothing to do with it. That's just our constitutional rights. No, the weapons have everything to do with it. They didn't shut down the state legislature because you were bringing flowers. They shut it down because you were bringing AR-15s. And by the way, you know who shut it down? The Republican-led legislature.
Right. Well, that's
the Republicans while going, oh, my God, oh, guns are great. They're fantastic. We don't mind them being here. The legislators were like, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here before they show up with all the guns. So what happened to guns being benign? Apparently, you don't even believe that.
Yeah, they know how bad this is making them look. I mean, you would think that it was, if it was out of fear, the Democrats would be doing it, say, oh, we don't want to put the governor, we want everybody to be safe, we don't want to put the governor in any kind of danger. I mean, this is clearly a threat to Governor Whitmer, but it's the Republicans who said, this has gone too far, this looks bad. And again, like you just said, Cenk, the appearance of guns on the state house steps is not where Republicans want to be.
All right, we have an amazing post game for you guys, including people who are protesting and now have coronavirus and ICE agents trying to go to massage parlors to reach certain conclusions. TYT.com/join. You're going to love it.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.